Reuben, we know, or at least we should know, that Reuben was the first son of Jacob and his wife Leah. Leah had three other sons in rapid succession after Reuben: Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Then she left off bearing for a while. Now Jacob loved Leah, but it seems that he had greater affection for Rachel. Now Rachel was barren at that time, and she desired a son. And she said to Jacob, "Give me children, or else I die." Now Jacob was angered by this, and he said to Rachel, "Am I in God's stead? Who hath withhold from thy womb the fruit from thy womb? Who has withheld the fruit from thy womb?" This directed Rachel to the source of such blessings. So then Rachel wanted a son. She wanted a child to sit upon her knee. But she was having no children. So she had a handmaiden given to her by her father Laban. So she gave Bilhah, that was her name, Bilhah, she gave her to Jacob. And Bilhah conceived and bare a son, called him Dan, his name signifying judging or judge. Thus Rachel said, "I may also have children by her." Then in chapter 30 at verse 6, Rachel said, "God has judged me and also heard my voice and given me a son." So she had a son to sit upon her knee. Now Bilhah had another son. She called him Naphtali. Now Leah, not to be outdone, she had a handmaiden called Zilpah, who she gave to Jacob, and she bore him two sons, Gad and Asher. So it was at that time that Jacob had eight sons. And as he was tending his flocks, Reuben went out to be with his father. And on the way to the field, Reuben found mandrakes. Now Reuben was perhaps 10 years old, maybe only 8 at that time. But he knew of the superstition that the mandrakes were supposed to have a magical ability to induce fertility. So he took some of these to his mother with the thought in mind that if she were to have another child, surely then his father would love his mother more than Rachel, as Reuben loved his mother very much. But then Rachel saw the mandrakes, and she was desperately she, in desperation, yielded to the temptation to obtain them as a cure for her barrenness. Yet when Jacob was coming in from the field that night, Leah went to meet him and asked him to lie with her that night, which he did. And we know that Leah conceived and bore Jacob another son, two other sons actually, and a daughter. Later on, Joseph was born, and Jacob was ready to leave Laban and head back to his father and to his native land. However, he had his brother Esau to consider. So he sets out to meet Esau. They embrace and they go their separate ways. On the way from Bethel to Bethlehem, Rachel bears a son whom Jacob calls Benjamin. And Rachel dies. And with that, Jacob pulls up his tent and goes off to Edah. And this is where we find Reuben again in chapter 35 at verse 22, tells us that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine. Now, Brother Mansfield denotes this as a threefold incident. First, that it was a sexual event, that Reuben defiled his father's bed, as Jacob says, at the blessing of his sons when they were in Egypt. And third, that Reuben lost his firstborn status. We read this over in 1 Chronicles chapter 5. Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was taken unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel. And the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. But Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler, but the birthright was Joseph's. Goes on to give the names of the four sons of Reuben. So we see that one act of defiance or lust or whatever cost Reuben his firstborn status. The next time we meet Reuben, as he was with his brothers at Shechem. But then the brothers left Shechem and went to Dothan, perhaps in search of water. When Joseph found them there, and as he was far off, they conspired against him. They conspired to slay him. But when Reuben heard of it, he delivered him out of their hand. Well, as we can read in verse 22 of Genesis 35, Reuben was no more spiritually minded than his brethren. His attempt to save Joseph was motivated by selfish consideration rather than thought for his brother. Reuben was a man of the flesh. But as the natural firstborn, he was responsible to his father for the safety of his brothers. Reuben was already a disgrace to his father. And if he did fail to protect Joseph, it would have only added to his disgrace. "Let us not kill him," Reuben said. Then Reuben left his brothers. And when he came back, Reuben said unto them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into the pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, and deliver him to his father again." So his brothers stripped him of his garment, and Judah said unto his brethren, "What profit is it if we slay our brother and cover his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites." And when Reuben returned to the pit, he wasn't present during the conspiracy of Judah. Reuben expected to find Joseph. And he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, "The child is not. And whither shall I go?" Being the oldest of the brothers, Reuben realized that he would be held responsible for the crime. So when Jacob knew that it was his son's coat that they brought to him, even Reuben went along with the deceit. And when the famine came, the brothers went down to Egypt. Joseph demanded that his brother Benjamin come down to him. And again we see Reuben making a vain boast to his father Jacob, as recorded in Genesis 42, verse 37. And Reuben spake unto his father, "Slay my two sons, if I bring him not back to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again." Reuben's sense of need for the supply of corn and his eagerness to persuade his father outran his good judgment. The flesh always boasts in such matters, but generally fails to fulfill its claim. Reuben had already demonstrated this by the loss of Joseph. Later, Jacob says, his sons and his sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him unto Egypt. As old age began to claim Jacob, and he realized that he was about to die, he gathered his sons together, that through divine inspiration, he might reveal their destinies unto them. Chapter 49, Jacob says, "Gather yourselves together, and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father." And of course, the first is Reuben. "Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my strength, and the my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellence of dignity and the excellence of power." That sounds pretty positive, doesn't it? But then we read it, verse 4. "Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then thou defilest it. He went up to my couch." Reuben had desecrated what ought to have been regarded as sacred and untouchable. We read from Deuteronomy 27, verse 20, "Cursed be anyone who lies with his father's wife, because he has uncovered his father's nakedness." This is exactly what Reuben did. And he and his tribe paid the price for his sin. As we read in 1 Chronicles 5, how the Assyrians took them into exile, namely the Reubenites, the Gadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh, and they did it to this day. So what do we learn the character of Reuben? He started out as a young boy with a great love for his mother, Leah. He strove to bring her and his father together. But then he not only went in to his father's wife, but he failed to keep Joseph from harm's way. And in the end, he paid the price for his folly.